This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, the market certainly disagreeing with my assessment of Goldfields there. It was down almost 10% on the day, but I think some of that had to do with that $160 million hedge. Well, it's time for the small cap wrap with Anthony Clark of Small Talk Daily Research, who's been in town presenting to analysts and packing his satchel with stories as always. Evening, Ant. Good to have you in studio.
It's nice to be back in studio. The last time I was here was with the illustrious Chris Gilmore.
Ah, the redoubtable. Of course, he's going to be standing in for me at the end of September. There's lots to talk about. Let's start with Kira, and the market reacted positively to the halfway report card. How would you grade management's performance at the halfway stage?
Interesting comment. The stock was down very heavily in the last 7 days on a very weak trading statement which came out, which really shocked the market, with a deferred tax liability line and talk of much higher interest costs and capex. And the stock slammed 22% in 7 days. I spoke to Andries Grelling and Bernard van der Linde on a couple of days ago, and I think the presentation they gave out to the market on Wednesday, Thursday, Cape Town, Joburg, really calmed nerves, and the share price, as you've seen, has moved up quite nicely in the last few days. There's still some concern about the capex and the debt going forward. You know, we've seen that emigration from this country, the fact that affordability is now an issue, even in the sort of middle market level, and even though underlying organic growth was 8% and revenue was up 19%, there has been a rise in bad debts, and the affordability issue, even in schooling, which you would think is bulletproof, is now really beginning to buckle certain segments of this economy, and that, of course, is having an effect on all the education stocks.
Yeah, it's one thing that jumped out from the numbers, that trade debt is jumping from just over 80 million to 160 odd million, so effectively doubling, which means that parents are struggling to pay their school fees. It just shows you how tough it is out there. The worry with the business model is that it's a highly capital-intensive business at this sort of J-curve growth phase, where they want to build new schools. There's good demand. They went through 50,000 last year. They're now at 57,000. So the demand is there. But you've got to manage your debtors book very carefully.
That's the key thing. I think to date, Kura spent about 9 billion rand building the infrastructure to actually get to 57,000 learners. One of the market's biggest concerns is, because many of their primary school children are now moving to matric, they have to build a lot of new schools, which is very capital intensive, and the J-curved effect to get that earnings through delays the underlying growth in the company by at least another 18 to 24 months. That's the reason why the share price got slammed. You know, is there still demand for quality, affordable education in this country? Absolutely yes. We all know what's going on in the state system across many sectors. The question is, in this current economy, with the current consumer, how much do they want to pay for it? And I think Kuro, in cutting back their capex and looking to utilize their existing capacity, has sent the right signal to the market saying, we're just reining back a wee bit, we're not going to spend as much as we will, but we're going to fill up what we have and try and maximize. But the bad debt situation is concerning, but let's not forget, it's a 1.5 billion rand revenue business in the first half. So it's as a percentage, it's still quite manageable.
And that product is really good. As I said to Andrew Schraling, who was on the show last night, my two daughters go to Akuro Castle, and they really are. Their pedagogy is phenomenal. Eight-year-olds learning how to code in robotics. I mean, it's just something else when you look at it. Capacity utilization in that business is very interesting, because you've got an asset that's effectively only used for around 8 hours a day.
Correct. And in the model that most schools have, you know, it's only the last couple of children in a class. As the class gets filled up, once you've covered your basic costs, you know, the cost of the building, the underlying financial costs, etc., etc., it's the last couple of children that gets that class to 20 desks that actually flows through to the bottom line. So that's why capacity utilization within inside Kuro is absolutely paramount. As that number starts to fill, it's currently, I think, from memory, in the high 50s to about 60%. So there's a lot of latent capacity which they can fill. As they start filling that up, the profit line should start to increase in time.
Right. Now, what's the read through there to Stadio, which is obviously the multiversity part of this story?
Well, tertiary in this economy is actually far more resilient, because, you know, yes, children have to go to school, but there is a state option if you have to send your children to school. You know, in the tertiary system, yes, you can send your teenager or your young adult to a state university, but in many cases the number of places are fixed, and there's a growing demand for tertiary education year in, year out, as the flow through and the government's drive to get more graduates into the economy, even if they can or can't get jobs, is still there. So the likes of an Advotech and a Stardio see tertiary going forward as a great growth node. Now, Stardio's case, which is a spin-off from Kuro, they're launching skills-based education. So if you want to become a tradesman or potentially a lawyer, an accountant, maybe even a doctor or a nurse at some point, they intend to offer skills. So as it stands right now, it's still a reasonable-sized business. It's about 2 billion rand in market value. They spent about 1 billion rand so far on acquisitions. They've got 350 million rand in cash in the bank, and maybe a couple of bolt-on acquisitions, maybe announced in the next week or two, given we've got interim results coming out, I think, on the 22nd, which is not that far away. I'm expecting the market to be a little bit surprised on how good Stardio is actually doing. They reported 4 cents a share like-for-like this time last year at their half, and 8.6 cents for the full year. And I got a feeling that Dr. Chris van der Merwe is going to pull a little ace out of his sleeve and show a little bit better. The share price is now low at 235, and I think he may want to get that up by giving a good presentation next week.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Talking about surprises, the RCL Foods trading update, awful trading update. I don't think the market was quite expecting this to be that bad. It's good news for Astral, though. I think Chris Schutte, who is on unfortunate sick leave at the moment, will be comfortable in that bet he took with Johan Rupert about beating RCL.
Absolutely. I think the trading update today, given that RCL is a combination of foods businesses with a sugar interest, which was impaired very badly today, 782 million rand from memory, the chicken side doing extremely badly, and Food Corp was a groceries business, also sort of doing okay in a difficult economy alongside the other grocery business. But we saw a trading update today stating that earnings would be down between 54 and 67%, and the share price a couple of weeks ago was heavily hit because a large institution was lightening their load. I see the price is now back to just under 11 rand. But you know what? It's difficult out there, and I don't think sugar and poultry will get better anytime soon. And I dropped a chart to you earlier showing that in the last 10 years, the sugar price has fallen from 35 cents a pound down to the current level of 12.5 cents a pound. It's not such a sweet deal being in sugar these days. It's a commodity. It's in oversupply, the sugar tax, there's health issues, and so RCL sadly is in two areas, chicken and sugar, which are currently not flavour of the month.
Not flavour of the month at all, not a sweet deal, as you said. And when a narrative, when a story turns against a soft commodity like that, we see the sugar sweetened beverage tax. It really can knock companies that are in that space. Just have a look at Tongaat, if you strip out some of the frauditing that was going on there as well. But for Astral on the other side of this, I know you are good friends with Chris Schutte, who is now undergoing a heart operation, I believe, so we wish him a speedy recovery. What's the outlook for Astral?
Yeah, I saw Chris a month ago, and I mentioned at the time that I thought something was up, so I wish him a speedy recovery. He and I have a standing joke that he does cartwheels around his office when the maize price falls and the chicken price rises. So if Chris is listening, I'm hoping you do cartwheels around your office very soon. But Astral today was down 4.6%. It's now below 160 rand again. I think we're going to have a very difficult trading update coming out for the company for the September full-year period. The interim stage, they reported earnings that fell very sharply to 9.48 rand. This time last year, to September, they reported earnings of just shy of 37 rand. And I'm penciling in anything between 13 and 15 rand for this year. So they're more than halving. It's very difficult out there. The maize price is stubbornly high, despite what's going on in the States with the US corn price falling literally by a third in the last month. But the weak rand in this economy means that we aren't yet seeing the benefits through to the SAFEX maize price. Mm. And as such, Astro, I think, is going to have a very, very tough 6 months ahead, and even another 6 months post that into early 2020. Great stock, great management, but still not the time to put all your eggs in one basket.
I couldn't resist. Anthony Clark with the Small Cap Wrap here on Classic Business, and that's also a wrap from the team tonight. Thanks to sound engineers Mataba Taba Radebe, Mwanda Lorbe in Cape Town, and producer Andres Mahlangu. Saan Mohammed, the coolest cat, is up next for you in the Jazz Lounge in Cape Town, and in Gauteng, Carolyn Staines winding down.